May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Andrew Abel Benjamin Alexander Hawkins, and I'd like to sign forever at the priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding a teacher Sabbath services.
May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Yishrev, Yael Paul Hawkins, and I'd like to serve forever as we start very soon. The sons and daughters of Yishrev are now in the sanctuary.
And I'd like to talk to the queens of the house of Yahweh.
son of Israel Abel, Deacon Yeshurun Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. May peace be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. My title today is Reverence Yahweh and Serve Him. Do not follow Satan. So for our first scripture, please turn over to Luke 4, verse 8. And it says, But Yahshua answered and said to her, You get away from me, Satan, for it is written, Yahweh, your Father, you must reverence, and him only you must serve. How do you follow Satan? You can follow Satan by listening to worldly music, worldly videos on YouTube. These ways can send you in the lying path. Yahweh wants to make us in his image. If we do not follow and serve Yahweh, we are being made in the image of Satan. So right here, image of Satan. 666. Please turn over to Luke 22, verse 27. And it says, For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table, but I am among you as he who serves? Yahshua was the lowest slave. He washed people's feet. We can serve Yahweh by worshiping him and obeying all of his 613 laws. Please turn over to Hebrews 8, verse 5. And it says, They serve at a sanctuary. That is the pattern and shadow of the heavenly things. As Moshe was admonished by Yahweh when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. This mountain is the house of Yahweh. Please turn over to Colossians 3, verse 24. And it says, Knowing that from Yahweh you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve Yahshua the Messiah. So one thing is that not only do you serve Yahweh, you also serve Yahshua. And also don't come and serve self. We are not here at the feast to serve ourselves. Please turn over to Yada 1 verse 12. These are spots in your feast of love, feast of Yahweh, when they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, driven about by winds, autumn trees without fruits, twice dead, pulled out by the roots. So we shall not serve ourselves. Right here. Serve self, 666. Now if you all please stand. I'll turn over the son of Israel, Deacon Israel of Bill Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my sermon today is Satan and Her Gods Are Adversaries to Yahweh. Now, in the very beginning of every Bible and also in the book of Yahweh, we see that Satan and the gods are shown to be enemies to mankind and adversaries to Yahweh's plan for mankind. If they'll turn over to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, this is a very common scripture we should all know. It says here, Then Yahweh said, I will make man in my image according to my likeness. They will have rulership over the fish of the sea, or authority. They will have authority over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And verse 27, So Yahweh created man in his own image. In the image of Yahweh he created the man. Then he created the woman from the man. And so to make mankind into the image and according to the likeness of Yahweh, Yahweh placed in front of mankind both righteousness and evil. He then commanded mankind to practice only righteousness. And then he warned mankind what would occur, if they broke Yahweh's laws. He warned them that they would destroy themselves if they practiced evil. So Yahweh didn't just say, you know, keep these laws. He told them why to keep these laws, and then he also told them what would occur, what they would bring upon themselves if they broke his laws. Look over to chapter 2 of Genesis, in verse 9, it says, "And out of the ground Yahweh made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and desirable for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of righteousness and evil was in the midst also." So notice the tree of righteousness and the tree of this mixture, the mixture of righteousness and evil. The tree of the mixture is not the tree of life. There's a difference there. And Yahshua explains these two trees in Matithiah. If you'll turn over to Matithiah chapter 7. And I want to start at verse 13. This is found on page 733, Matithiah chapter 7, verse 13. It says, "Enter in through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are those who go that way. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there are who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Likewise, every righteous tree brings forth righteous fruit, but a tree of evil brings forth fruit of iniquity. A righteous tree cannot bring forth fruit of iniquity, nor can a tree of evil bring forth fruits of righteousness. Every tree which does not bring forth righteous fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. Therefore, you will know them, or therefore by their fruits you will know them." And then we see in verses 21 through 23 what we will hear, what someone would hear if they continue along with this breaking of Yahweh's laws in verse 23. So in Genesis 3 verse 5, if you'll all turn over there to Genesis 3 verse 5, it says, "For he knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be as gods, knowing righteousness and evil." So we see the evil as the gods. And this evil as the gods does not bring forth life. Yahweh gave us the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. And I want to read Exodus 20 verse 20. And it says, "Moshe said to the people, do not fear, for Yahweh has come to test and prove you, so that the reverence for Yahweh will be with you, so that you do not commit sin." Now in the second book of Israel, going on to perfection number 34, verse 126, pastor says here in Exodus 20:20 is where he gives you the Ten Commandments. He said, "He gave you laws, statutes, and judgments, and the Ten Commandments even. What for? To test you to see whether you will walk in his ways or not, to see whether you learn to love them or not, to see whether you're fit to take on the name of Yahweh or not. He sets before you these laws to test you, to see if you will reverence him by keeping his laws, statutes, and judgments, so that the reverence of Yahweh will be with you, so that you do not commit sin. That is, go against his word and start God-worshipping. This is the state the world is in today, the whole world. Surely we can come out of this world. As Yahweh has said, surely all of us here can be a part of that kingdom." And then in the seventh book of Israel, chapter 22, verse 37, pastor says here, skipping down to about the middle of verse 37, he says, "He's building a kingdom of believers because he wants an eternal kingdom that will never be taken away. This kingdom will never be destroyed. It's not like man's kingdom that he's building, but also Yahshua said, a kingdom that's divided against itself, will not stand. So you're not going to be able to stand in the kingdom that Yahweh is building unless you fully believe everything that is written by the apostles and prophets and believe the one that they show is sent in these last days." So we have to be in unity with Yisrael Hawkins, with the teachings from the house of Yahweh. And we can't go against it. If we go against it, then we're not in unity. And as Yeshua said, you know, a kingdom that's divided against itself will not stand. You're not going to be able to stand in the kingdom unless you fully believe everything written by the apostles and prophets. And then verse 39 here, he says, and by the time he gets through with you, you know, he'll either know whether he can trust you to believe him throughout all eternity or whether he can trust you one way or the other just by what you prove to him here. Remember, we are all being watched. Heaven and earth is witnessing, and we have to prove ourselves. Now, in Genesis chapter 4, look at verse 6. And it says here, so Yahweh said to Cain, why are you angry? Why are you downcast? If you do righteousness, will you not be acceptable? And if you do not do righteousness, sin is crouching at your door. The desire to sin is with you, but you must overcome it. So you must overcome sin. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 21. And verse 7, it says, he who overcomes will inherit all things, and I will be his father, and he will be my son. So if we overcome, and then Acts 3:19, as we know, it says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, the times of refreshing may come from the presence of Yahweh. So your sins are not forgiven until you repent and convert. You must convert to being righteous like Yahweh. As we all know, Yeshua said in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 48, therefore become perfect, just as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. And that should be one of our goals. The Peaceful Solution teaches us to set goals for ourselves. You know, this should be one of our ultimate goals in our list of goals, to become perfect, just like Yahweh, just like the perfect example that Yeshua set for us, set these goals for ourselves. And you know, why would you let something get in the way to tear down or to prohibit you from achieving your goal? You know, going according to the influences of the world, you know, as Cam Benjamin brought out in his sermon, the baptism vows, you know, not seeking the entertainment of the world, getting these things out, that will help us in achieving our goals, the goal of becoming perfect. So if you don't repent and convert, turn over to Revelation chapter 21 again. And I want to read verse 8. So we just saw in verse 7, he who overcomes will inherit all things, and I will be his father, and he will be my son. And then verse 8, we see what will occur to those who don't repent and convert. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and worshippers of gods, Elohim, and all liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And remember what Matthew 7 verses 18 through 19 says, that every tree that does not bring forth righteous fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. You are judged according to your works. Don't let Satan and the gods deceive you. Remember, you belong to whom you obey. If you choose to obey Yahweh's righteousness, then you will inherit all things. But if you follow the evil as the gods, which all the nations are now following, then you will surely perish. It's your choice, as we see in Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 through 19. If you all turn over there. Deuteronomy 30. Verse 15 says, see, I have set before you this day life by righteousness and death by destruction, and that I command you this day to love Yahweh your Father by walking in all his ways, by keeping his laws, his statutes, and his judgments, so that you may live and multiply, and so Yahweh your Father may bless you in the land which you go in to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and you are drawn away to submit to God's Elohim, to worship them by serving them, I declare to you this day that you will surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore choose life so both you and your children may live. So Satan and her gods offer only death. Although that tree looks desirable, in the end thereof are the ways of death. So those religions led by Satan and her gods will soon cast themselves into the one-hour burning, as prophecy shows. The only prophesied protected place, as we all know, is the house of Yahweh. In closing, I want to read a scripture in Yochanan, chapter 8. Well, verse 34 says, Yeshua answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. He who serves, worships, obeys the gods will not remain in the house of Yahweh forever. A son of Yahweh, a righteous man or saint, will remain in the house of Yahweh forever." And side note G says, for the word forever there, it says, "Those who believe in, accept, and obey all that the law and the prophets have spoken will be given the right to becoming the children of Yahweh forever." And then it says, "In fact, this should be their greatest desire." That should be our greatest desire, to want to remain in Yahweh's house forever. And verse 36, "So since being a son of Yahweh, a righteous man or saint, is what makes you free, you will really be free from the gods Elohim." So becoming a righteous son, a righteous saint of Yahweh, son of Yahweh, is what will make us free from the gods. So remember, we didn't come here to be served, but to serve. And with that, if you'll all please stand. It's an honor to turn the services over to the great Kahan Shaul Hawkins.
Shalom once again. You may be seated. I have a correction to one of the announcements. Unless you're scheduled to pick up your free meal at a certain time, the free meals at the White Buffalo Dining Center are available anytime that we're open. Okay, so don't miss out on those meals. We're going to get right into it here, brothers and sisters. You know, we've had a wonderful, wonderful two nights of services and information from Pastor. The knowledge that Yahweh's pouring out to his house is just tremendous. And the depth of the knowledge. And we're going to continue here in our studies about Yahshua, who is our perfect example that our pastor follows to a T in these last days. You know, we don't have to worry about anything. He's doing everything Yahshua instructs and commands, which is what Yahweh instructs and commands. And if we want Yahshua's blood to cover us, and we really want to enter the kingdom, we are going to have to follow Yahshua's example in the same way that Pastor does. Please turn over to First Yochanan on page 964. First Yochanan 2:6. He says, "He who says he abides in him," that is Yahshua, "who abides in him," and remember, we ate of his body and drank of his blood, the cup that he drank, and the sinless body that he had, that represented by the unleavened bread, and that's abiding in him, is himself also obligated. We're obligated. We made a vow to walk exactly as he walked. To walk exactly. Turn over to 1 Kefa 2, 21 on page 958. "For to this you were called, to do righteousness," that is to keep every word of Yahweh, every word. Because doing righteousness, and only because he did righteousness, Messiah also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit, guile found in his mouth, none whatsoever. Turn over to Yochanan 14. Yochanan 14, and we'll see one of Yahshua's examples here. He's speaking to the disciples here shortly before his arrest. Yochanan 14, page 832 and verse 30. "After this, I will not talk much with you, for the evil, beastly governmental system, that world order that was from the beginning," remember, from the beginning, Genesis 3:5, "is coming It has nothing to do with me. I wanted to read this in from the Amplified here. Well, let's look at the King James first. He says, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." And the Amplified says, "I will not talk with you much more, for the prince, evil genius or ruler," and remember Yekezkia 28:3, this is talking about Satan here, this prince of darkness here, the prince of evil. This it says in the note here, evil genius. And look over at Yekezkia 28:3. Because never underestimate Satan. You know, you can't let your guard down at any moment. Remember Yekezkia 28:3. "Behold, you are wiser than Daniel." And if you remember all the prophecies that Yahweh gave Daniel that he wrote for these last days, showing him our beloved overseer preaching and then recording it. But she's wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from you. You can't play around with Satan and win. She's smarter than we are. She's more powerful than we are at this time. But we have a way to be smarter than she is. But this evil genius, ruler of the world, is coming. And she has no claim on me, Yeshua says. She has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to her. She has no power over me. Okay, now what possibly could be inside of a person that would be in common with Satan's world, that would belong to her, that would give her power over a person? Yes, she can have power over people. But at this point, what possible thing could be in a person that wasn't in Yeshua? And we need to get it out, because we have to walk like Yeshua walked. Brothers and sisters, it's our own thoughts, our own ideas and desires that are contrary to what Pastor is teaching us in the house of Yahweh. Or as Shaul said, it would be sin living in us. Now you may think, well, I've confessed my sins, I've gotten rid of them. Don't forget Deuteronomy 12:8 that Pastor really, really went deep into the other night on Yahshua's own memorial, doing what is right in our own eyes, deciding for ourselves what is right. When we do this, you know, we have something in common with Satan. And there's something in us that belongs to her. And she has power over us if we give in to this and do things in our own mind that we come up with in our own mind. Turn over to Romans 12. Now, Yeshua doesn't leave us without a way to remedy this situation. But think about that. And 1 Yochanan 3 says, "He who commits sin belongs to the devil." And Yeshua is testifying to us there that he's got nothing in common with Satan, nothing in common with her world, and she has no power over him. We can be the same way, that where Satan has no power at all over us, can't turn us, can't make us blink, can't make us flinch. We won't even think twice about her world. We can become like that, and you can do it this feast. In Romans 12 and verse 2, and this is what it is that could be in us that would give Satan power over us. "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing." Remember that renewed covenant, putting the laws within our hearts and minds, "that you may be able to test and prove what is the righteous and acceptable and perfect will of Yahweh." Turn over to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, on page 916, "And to you, who," in verse 1, "who were dead in your trespasses and sins." Now, Yeshua was never dead in his trespasses and sins. He never had sin. but he's showing us how we can become like he is now and get the sin out, in which you walked in times past. Every one of us, unless we were born in the house of Yahweh and had never been taught or experienced sin, we all who came here walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Yes, broadcasting sin at every turn. The God that is now at work in the children of disobedience. Notice, disobedience puts that God at work in you, puts Satan at work in us if we're disobedient. You see how serious this is? Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh. I, me, my, what I want, what I studied, what I think. What is I, me, and my? Me, my, myself. What is that? 666. Can we have the mark of the beast and the mark of Yahweh? Well, Yedidiah said we needed to have the mark of the beast, remember? But that's the book, not the actual mark. But we know we can't have both. We need to get that out of our lives. Performing the desires of the flesh and of the mind. It starts with our own thoughts. Well, I think it should be done this way. Well, I think I ought to be allowed to do this. Well, you got Satan in control there. And we're by nature the children of wrath. The wrath. Yahweh's not the one that has the wrath. Why are you angry, Cain? He didn't say, why am I angry, Yahweh? He said, why are you angry, Cain? Because you won't submit. You won't stop doing what is right in your own eyes. Then look over at 1 Kefa 4. It says, Yahshua then having suffered on our behalf. You know, look at all these things about these scriptures about Yahshua suffering on our behalf. Did he suffer in vain? Well, we need to stand guard over ourselves to make sure he didn't, because we will be cast out, that you yourselves might be armed because of his suffering and cease from sin, in order to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer by human passions, but by the will of Yahweh. For it is enough that in times past you performed the will of the Gentiles, living in all these various sins. All right, but now we're supposed to stop and come out of this world and have no fellowship with those of the world. You know, we'll teach them by our example of not participating, not having anything to do with them anymore. Touching not the unclean thing. Get away from it. Flee youthful lusts and so on. You know, First Yochanan, again, if you'll turn over there, says, do not love the world, 1 Yochanan 2:15, or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the Father, or loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, because it's passing away. And back in Ephesians, it says, he who would be the friend of the world is the enemy of Yahweh. The enemy. We can't be abiding in him and be the enemy of Yahweh. How do we find the will of Yahweh? We must live by the will of Yahweh. And Yahshua gave us his own example when he prayed and said, Yahweh, not my will be done, but your will be done. You know, Yahshua didn't have it in his mind to go his own way, to make his own decision. He was the only sane man that ever lived up until that time, or one of the few. And he wouldn't have said, well, you know, what do I do today? I think I'll ask these guys to beat me up for 24 straight hours and hang me to die. I think that'd be a great thing. No, he did it for a reason, to fulfill prophecy, but it wasn't a pleasant thing to go through at all. He chose it because he knew being without sin, he had to be our sacrifice. And it was part of Yahweh's plan. And remember in Hebrews 12, for the joy that was set before him, he endured that sacrifice. And he willingly did it because of Yahweh's plan, because he knew he didn't do what was right in his own eyes. He knew what the prophecies were and followed them. But the will of Yahweh, it covers every aspect of our lives. What we eat, what we wear, how we wear it, our hair, our makeup, you know, whatever we put on our face, or how we dress ourselves and cover ourselves or uncover ourselves, it covers everything. Who we can talk to, who we can look at, what we can look at, what we can listen to. You know, Pastor said one time in an old sermon, I'm coming into your bedroom. You know, the laws of Yahweh cover every room in your house. Because where are you? Where can you go where Yahweh doesn't see you? And the heavens don't see you? Nowhere. We're on trial. We're being judged. So how do we know the difference? How do we know the will of Yahweh? Did we determine it on our own? Turn over to Zechariah 5. Zechariah 5, and we see in verse 9, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, two women, the last two heirs of the house of Yahweh, sent with commandment. The Spirit of Yahweh came to overspread them, and they were covered with the covering of the saints. They exalted, notice these three words here, exalted, magnified, we're going to be under a microscope here, every little detail, examined, and extolled the ephah, the standard of perfection sent by Yahweh's laws, separating the way of the world from the way of Yahweh. It must be separated. Then I said, and where did they do it? Where do you go where the world, the ways of Yahweh are separated from the ways of the world? Look at verse 11. To build the house of Yahweh according to that standard of perfection in a Babylonish land. You found it. Let's not go halfway. Let's go all the way with Yahweh. Let's get our own way out. And who's working with this last witness, of course? In Zechariah 6:12, speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says, behold the man whose name is the branch. This is the commission given to Yahshua to behold, to lead and guide. And Yahweh testifies that his servant Israel is faithful in all his house and humble in all his house. Who is I will set it in order and foretell these events? Pastor is setting everything in order according to Yahshua's instructions, just the way Yahshua set things according to Yahweh's instructions. And remember Revelation 22. I, Yahshua, he said, I've sent my Moloch to testify. Don't forget these things. So there's only one place. You can't figure out the will of Yahweh in your own mind. We can't do it. We're incapable of doing it. You know, we're unfit for the kingdom. As, you know, take me as I am. Well, as you am is unfit for Yahweh's kingdom. So as great and smart as we think we are, in everything, we are unfit. We need correction. We need constant correction. Turn over to Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6 and 23 says, for the commandments are a lamp and the law is light, because we were in darkness. Our minds were darkened. Our senseless minds were darkened until we were brought here to be given reproofs of instruction, which are the way to life. Turn over to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15:32 says, he who rejects instruction despises his own life. And he who listens to reproof and rebuke and warning gains understanding. Turn over to Proverbs 3 in verse 5. Trust in Yahweh. Trust in the house of Yahweh with all your heart, and do not lean upon your own understanding. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Well, look what I studied and figured out. Trash it, because you didn't figure anything out. Reverence Yahweh by turning entirely away from evil. This trust, you trust Yahweh by going to His house, and you turn away from doing things that are right in your own eyes. Deuteronomy 17, you go and ask the priest, and it says you must act according to the judgment they pronounce for you at the place I have chosen to place my name. And the man or woman who turns to the left or to the right will soon enter the kingdom through that broad way. Is that what it says? No, Yahshua said, seek the narrow, the straight and narrow way. Few there be that even find that, and fewer still actually stay on that straight and narrow path all the way to the kingdom. You know, the world has no wisdom. They've rejected Yahweh's wisdom. They rejected the words of Yahweh. They rejected Yahshua. They're still rejecting Yahshua. The new teachings of the Vatican coming out now, you know, with no hell, so there must not be any sin, and the things they're saying about Yahshua, you know, is just sickening. But think of what Yahweh has done for us. It would be great to see the proportion of the number in the house of Yahweh here versus the population of the world, and see what a small percentage it is. You know, we've got to turn to Yahweh with all of our heart. Let's turn back to Yochanan. Let's see. Yochanan 12:25. We have got to give up our own way, in our own will, in our own understanding, and start trusting fully in Yahweh. He didn't lead Yahshua astray. Yahshua was born as a man. What made Yahshua so sure that he was going to inherit a kingdom after he suffered so terribly? What made him so sure of it? The prophecies, the teachings in this book right here. Well, book one of it. They were living book two. They hadn't written it yet. Yes, they didn't have the King James Version, as Billy Graham once said. Not yet, anyways. They were on the way to try to get it. They were dreaming it up in their mind. How can we ruin this and turn people away? But Yahshua says in 12, verse 25, on page 829, he who loves his life, that is, who loves his own self, his own mental thoughts, his own conclusions, his own interpretations. Remember, the scriptures are not of a private interpretation. He who loves his own way, he who loves going his own way, making his own decisions, will lose it. But he who hates his life in this world will protect it for eternal life. And this is our test. This is our test, the big test that Pastor spoke about. Let's be as Yahshua here. Turn over to Yochanan 18:11, a few pages over, page 835. And remember, the apostles, the disciples, were still learning, and they had a ways to go, and they had a few misunderstandings. And remember, the great Kohan brought out about this when Kepha, you know, he gave the servant, the high priest servant, a chewing out here, chewed out his ear. And Yahshua said to Kepha, put your sword back in your sheath. He says, should I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? Brothers and sisters, should we not drink the cup, the same cup Yahshua drank that Yahweh has given us? Praise Yahweh. Let us all have this same mind that Yahshua did, who didn't think anything of his own self, but submitted himself in every way to Yahweh and to Yahweh's laws in obedience, just like our pastor does today. He is showing us this perfect example right before our eyes, and he's working desperately to try to get that same mind in us. Let's put our own selves away, put to death that old man or woman, and put on the new man according to Yahweh's laws. If everyone will please stand at this time. I now have the honor, may Yahweh bless your understanding, and I now have the honor to turn the services over to the great Kohen Yehuda Hawkins.
Shalom. Please be seated. While I'm talking to you, please turn to page 718 in your Book of Yahweh. Page 718 is where we'll start. Page 718 in your Book of Yahweh. We're going to look at Zechariah chapter 3, verse 10 first. There will be two scriptures we're going to look at today. Zechariah 3, verse 10. In that day, says Yahweh of hosts, every man will invite his brother unto his own vine and fig tree. We see that at all. It doesn't look like a vine or a fig tree, but a lot of people have umbrellas and awnings and things like that for the warm weather to sit out and drink beer. The word invite that is written in Zechariah 3:10 is translated from the Hebrew word takaru. Well, I'll tell you what, even I have a hard time reading this stuff. This word is listed on pages 1252 and 1253 of a Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means to call together, to call forth, to summon. The word brother that is written in Zechariah 3, verse 10, is translated from the Hebrew word rohu. This word is listed on page 1307 of a Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means to unite. The word under that is written in Zechariah 3, verse 10, is translated from the Hebrew word tahat. This word is listed on page 1462 of a Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means to divide, to separate. The words his fig tree that are written in Zechariah 3, verse 10, are translated from the Hebrew word tana. Now, there's talef, aleph, nun, hey. It's not Tana, as some sisters have named themselves, or Nathan. But I wanted to point out that both of them are really great names to have if you have them. So, continuing on, this word is listed in 1462 of a Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon of the Old Testament, Julius First, which I said means to divide, to separate. The words his fig tree that are written in Zechariah 3:10 are translated from the Hebrew. Well, this was the word Tana, I apologize. This is the word Tana, okay. This word is listed on page 1117 of Gesenius Hebrew and Chaldean Lexicon by Edward Robinson, which shows this word is defined by the Hebrew word Dabala, a Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon to the Old Testament, Julius First, pages 198, 205, and 309, shows this Hebrew word Dabala, that is a Hebrew definition of the Hebrew word Tana, that is written in Zechariah 3:10, means house of Yahweh, to heal and able. So this is what Zechariah 3 verse 10 is saying. In that day, says Yahweh of hosts, every man will be called out to unite under the vine or the branch, and to unite at the house of Yahweh at Abel, where there is healing. Now, the interesting thing about this, while I was that fig tree thing this morning, you probably heard a lot of noise back here because I thought I wasn't going to get done in time on this particular work. But I remember when I was a Christian, always remember the budding of the fig tree. The budding of the fig tree. And do you know Jesus is coming? Jesus is coming. I don't know where he's going, but that's up to him, I guess. Or her. Actually, it's a her. The name is a feminine name. I won't go any further than that. You get pretty nasty. But the point of the matter is, I found this scripture. So turn to page 775. I've already talked to Pastor about this because unlike some people that find things and want to keep it secret so they can think they're high and mighty, when I find something, guess who I call first? If you believe I'd call anybody but him first, well, you're not in the right place. Turn to Yochanan Mark 13:28 on page 775. We want to look at that real quick. Yochanan Mark 13:28, 775. Remember Zacharias said about this, that this fig tree business, it means that in that day, they would, everybody would unite where? At the house of Yahweh. But the interesting thing, Yahshua knew about this and talked about it, but he explained it even further. And that's why we want to look at this scripture. Yochanan Mark 13, 28 and 29, include 29 on page 775. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch has become tender and puts out leaves, you know that summer is near. So when you in this same way see these things come to pass, you will know that it is near, at the door. But the point of the matter is, you can see the nonsense of it all. And that's a sad thing if you really think about it. The words fig tree in this verse, in Yochanan Mark 13:28, they are translated from the same Hebrew word, Tanah, I told you about, listed on page 1117 of Gassini's Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Edward Robinson, which shows this word is defined by the Hebrew word, Dabala, the Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon to the Old Testament, Julius I, pages 198, 205, and 309, shows this Hebrew word, Dabala, that is written, there's a definition of the Hebrew word, Tanah, this time written in Yochanan Mark 13:28, shows it means house of Yahweh to heal and able. The word tender that is written in Yochanan Mark 13:28 traces back to the Hebrew word chag, that's C-H-A-G, chag. This word is listed on page 481 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament of Julius I, which shows this word means a thing that is firmly established. Ring a bell? Okay. The word leaves that is written in Yochanan Mark 13:28 is translated from the Hebrew word zamakya, not yabat ad, just zamakya. This word is listed on page 1196 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament, Julius I, which shows this word means the remnant of the people purified and made holy. Is that not what we're fixing to do? I think it is tomorrow. Are we not going to sprinkle? To purify and move toward becoming totally holy? That's the whole point. So this is what Yochanan Mark 13:28 is saying. Now learn what is said. A parable of something said. They're talking to you. When the branch will establish the house of Yahweh at Abel, where there will be healing in the last days, and a remnant that will be healed and made holy, know that the time of the great heat is near. We got to go on. So when you in the same way see these things come to pass, you will know that it is near, at the door. But Psalm 91 says it won't come near you. You'll see it. But if Yahweh is with you, it won't come near. Remember that. The branch. Who is the branch? Remember, he waves those olive branches. What are on those branches? Who are the leaves? Exactly. The whole point. And don't forget, there are people out there, they know deep inside that we're not bluffing and we're not lying. I've heard people say, you can count on me to be there when something comes to pass. I haven't seen them yet. It's been about 35 years. But that's not my problem. As for me and my house, we're going to serve Yahweh, and if he doesn't want to, that's his business. But anyway, you know, pastor is working on getting all these things made right. But I can tell you one thing, if you read the scriptures, he's not only going to try to get these things right, he's going to succeed. Remember that. But anyway, with those things, may Yahweh bless your understanding. Please stand. And I turn the services over to the great Kohen Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. But of course, like the great Kohen said, you know, pastor's been bringing this longer than most of us have been alive, and that's most definitely where this golden oil flows from, and we're blessed to be able to come in these last days and to see these prophecies coming to pass. And we're going to concentrate, and I would encourage everyone to read Revelation chapter 13. Familiarize yourself with it. We should already be in the Mark of the Beast and the Nuclear Baby and rereading those books again. But reread Revelation chapter 13 because we need to reacquaint ourselves once again with knowing about the two beasts, the second beast having two horns as two religions, being Catholic and Protestant, and how it says, let us be like the first beast. And those who do not comply with that will not be allowed to buy, sell, nor trade. And that's what we see on the open markets right now. Oil being the most important commodity there is out there, more important than water, it seems, to these people that are doing the business, so to speak. Now, there's something you may not know. You know, and there's a film to show you and to educate you a little bit on proven and unproven oil reserves. So you'll understand when it says a country has proven or unproven oil reserves. Proven, of course, means that they have them and they can tap into them. They know they can. Unproven mean that they're there, but they're not sure how they're going to extract the oil. It's difficult. Well, proven oil reserves, you would think that Russia, maybe number one, Saudi Arabia, very wealthy, maybe number one. But no, Venezuela has more proven oil reserves than anyone. Now, pay close attention to what Venezuela is going through, because remember, Venezuela is refusing to use the petrodollar. They want to use China's system, oil for gold or oil for the yuan, which can be turned into gold. That's what they want to do, and they're being sanctioned heavily because they will not listen and comply with this beast. They won't follow this system. Don't forget what Pastor brought us. Who contributes an enormous amount of money to the Catholic Church? The United States. So, of course, with the Catholic Church, remember, they're going to China, and they're speaking to China, try to develop diplomatic relations where they're trying to cover their investments, what they're trying to do. They don't want the United States, who willingly gives this money, who is the second beast, they don't want someone else cutting into this business, because next year, there's 34 billion barrels a year of oil sold. By next year, China will consume half of those. So you're looking at China taking half of the money from oil business, and the Catholic Church is refusing to give that up. Now, when you see what's going on in Venezuela, they're showing that the people down there are starving to death. They are an oil-rich country, but they won't comply with what they're told. And it shows what takes place without the protection of Yahweh. Either you become part of this 666 system, or you won't be part of it at all. They have no problem with depopulating this world. If you won't listen, and you don't have the protection of Yahweh, you're kind of open for them to take you out or to do whatever they want to do with you. And it's very brutal. It's a savage beast. Remember, the beast describes the character of what this system is that's outside this tree of life. Then looking at North Korea, this is very important. Remember, North Korea also aligning themselves with China, Russia, Iran. Keep in mind, all of these together in what they're doing. They're also bringing more propaganda up with North Korea. They activated a nuclear facility. Now, they said they were going to do this back in the news months back, but they're being accused immediately that they opened for electricity. Of course, they're saying, well, it has to be for nuclear weapons. That's what they're doing, nuclear weapons.
Even though the United States has many nuclear facilities, Japan has them, many other countries have these things, but it's when someone can produce something and they don't need that beastly system, they're becoming self-sufficient, like Russia is self-sufficient, they need no one to survive, they can operate within themselves, that doesn't work. The beast doesn't like that. You have to comply with the beast. And then the White House administration, of course, is continually turning, continually changing, but they brought back a very familiar name, and that is John Bolton. And he's going to be a military advisor. He's taken a very high position. If you don't remember who that is, he was an advisor in the Bush administration when they invaded Iraq. And he has always spoke out against Iran. He is very anti-Russian. He supports that beastly system. He supports the enforcement of that beastly system. And then China. China made history this last week. They opened up their oil futures market. Oil futures is exactly what it says. It's buying oil into the future. It's future purchases. Now, why is this important? Why is it very historical in what it's doing? They've opened the business, and the future market says, we want investors. Come invest with us. Well, they need to persuade people to leave the petrodollar and to come invest in the petro yuan. So they're building strength up so they can become a very strong competitor against this petrodollar. And taking the petrodollar down, you take military funding away from the United States, you take money out of the Catholic Church. They're not going to allow that. This is going to build up because, once again, you have the United States who's saying, you won't do this. We're going to spend every penny we can come up with, $700 billion on a military budget this year alone. We won't let you do that. We will always be number one, is what President Trump said. Anybody that challenges that, that's an open threat to we will take you out. But once again, they're not dealing with Afghanistan. They're not dealing with Somalia or Sudan. They're dealing with China and Russia, who have technology on the same level as the United States, maybe not as great, because the United States is the chief nation of all nations, but they have enough to kill and annihilate. And then looking at Russia. Now, this is very important because this past first day, the Catholic Church has what they call one of their major holidays. And you see a lot of things come out about the Pope, and they're produced by Catholics. They're very pro-Catholic films. But in amongst those, RT, Russia Television, put out one showing how disgusting, how sick, how perverted, how you need to run from the Catholic Church, and how it's full of pedophilia. And whenever someone is found guilty of this pedophilia, in other words, it's exposed, what does the Catholic Church do? Well, they relocate them from South America to Africa. Or they relocate them from one continent to the other. Do they repent of their sins? No. They continue in them. They continue because they follow the gods. They're evil like the gods. Only Yahweh's house seeks repentance from what is done to bring forth death, and they have no life in them. Well, Russia is bringing this out, and it's a trailer to kind of show what they're trying to expose, and they're working very hard at it. Russia is doing a great job of helping, but I still think they get most of their information from Yisrael Hawkins, because that's the source of all knowledge to begin with on the face of this earth. And then watch Vladimir Putin. He's being introduced. This is a short film we showed before, but I want you to think about how Pastor has said they can't stand anyone that hates homosexuals. Well, Vladimir Putin, President Putin, he's shaking hands with Orthodox priests. And as they do in the Catholic Church, one of them bent down to kiss President Putin on the hand. He pulls back his hand and watch what he does with his hand. He clearly shows that priest, I will punch you if you try that again. So, you know, war doesn't help, violence doesn't help, but it is nice to see that he is purely disgusted with that kind of activity. So if at this time, if we could please play the news. It's the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael Abel Hawkins.
Oh, man, this is wonderful. This is wonderful, Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. That Venezuela that you saw at first there on the news, they have a 666. They carry a 666. Keep that in mind. Well, of course, so does China. All these nations are fighting each other. Back to the peaceful square. I meant to bring a granite bowl, a granite soup bowl. That's what my dad used. And by the way, we had some news about water lines in the cities, some of the cities deteriorating, and because of chemicals they put in the pipelines and of the water, and they actually put it in the water to clean the water. Now, if you add to that the hospitals, sewage going into the water, now they got a problem in trying to clean this water, you know, and that water has got to be dumped the way they run their sewer lines, their sewage, it's got to be dumped somewhere. Well, of course, they're dumping it back in the water streams. But what they're putting in the water is chemicals to try to kill the bacteria that's causing sickness. But the chemicals themselves are so strong, they're eating the water lines. Those water lines are put in back in my dad's day, WPA workers. In fact, he helped in that construction. They were meant to last forever, they said. The water lines were meant to last forever. They lasted till we started putting chemicals in that was stronger than the water lines, the pipelines. Oh, it's amazing, isn't it? They just keep getting deeper and deeper. The soup bowl. I think we still have some available in those WPA days. I learned a lot just talking to my dad about these about this time period, because the president was giving jobs to the people, putting them to work. They had no jobs, nothing to do. Drought. They couldn't buy anything. The ranchers couldn't sell their cattle because nobody had any money. So the government goes out and shoots the cattle, kills the cattle, and says, you got to let these cattle rot or bury them or something. You can't eat them. This was a time period of as much confusion as there is now. Anyway, the way they fed all these men, I remember some things that he told me about this. They had soup lines. They cooked out in the open with a cast iron pot. Cast iron pots were made to cook with very little wood, and they add iron to your food when you cook in cast iron, which gives you energy. It's not a bad iron. It's not a heavy metal. That'll kill you. In fact, it's healthy for you. It's something that Yahweh put in the earth for us that we can use. Well, the cast iron pot put the iron in the food, which gives you energy. Also makes it taste great. Greater. Makes it taste greater. With the peaceful square this evening, we are going to have a soup made over this fire in a cast iron pot. You will taste the smoke. It's very. I was kind of forced to check it out for you. It's a hard job, but somebody's got to. I put my initials on it. But anyway, bring your soup bowls. We still have some available. It's a granite soup bowl. They're made to last forever, too, if you won't get too rough with them and knock the iron off. Our reach-out program This broke records yesterday when it was released. Israel Hawkins states, when people asked, "Do you know the Lord, brethren?" they prove they don't know anything about the Savior or the Holy Scriptures. Well, this article has really broken a lot of records. It's close to 200,000. It normally gets to about 57. About 57 starts that at this time of day and goes up. But this is 157,666. Reaching the 666. Praise Yahweh. With Easter fast approaching, this was the week before, Israel Hawkins says he will expose the lies based around this time period. That's up to 238,000. These are news medias that run these news articles that we turn in. This was a bit of news. It's on all the churches now. They see the house of Yahweh growing, and they're trying to find out why. Well, they know that our children are preaching, so guess what? They're going to put their children to teaching, they said. Teaching Baal worship, of course. But they're choosing girls between the age of 14 and 18, and they're sending them out as missionaries to teach in the homes, going from house to house. I think they got that one from the Jehovah Witness. we don't go from house to house. We're taking it out the way Yahweh said we would, and we're reaching the entire world. What's making the house of Yahweh grow, praise Yahweh, what's making the house of Yahweh grow? It's a simple word. I think you could learn it. It's called truth. The fact is, the truth is taught here in the house of Yahweh, and sending your girls out there is going to get them in trouble, you know, more trouble than they're already in, going from house to house. The world is upset, and the Pope, he's using this as a all of these disasters, and he's trying to say, he uses the word now, peace. We would like for everyone to turn to peace. Well, what he means is, like he's speaking of Venezuela, you know, ever since he went to Venezuela and tried to get them to turn Catholic, and they're trying to get him to take the laws off of that country that forbid them to buy land because they're not Catholic. And so they're trying to force them into being Catholic. They're trying to force Russia and China and all of these nations they're bringing sanctions against. And they got it set up to where they can. Of course, the other nations are fighting back now. As you can see, they're getting tired of the petrodollar, and they're going to fight back, which shows that the end is near, because this is going to bring the United States down. It's also going to bring the United States to war, nuclear war, as the scripture shows, a one-hour war. Yedidia sent me this article. U.S. leaders at APEC hint peace plan is near. Now, what Yedidia was talking about here was the 7-year peace plan that Trump is getting ready to put back into action, dividing the land for gain, and which includes the Temple Mount. Also, the ex-general, North Korea's military, is formidable. He says that if we hit North Korea, they're going to fight back with their children. from the time that a child, I believe there's something that stays in my mind that they were 8 years old, but this article says by the time they're 14 years old, they have to start training for military. And they spend 100 hours training each year after they take this initial training period. If you remember the peaceful way in Yeshua, you know, they were called, Yeshua presented himself at the temple when he was 12. And you become a student of the law of Yahweh at that age. That's the normal age of becoming a student of the law, where you could actually teach the law to any generation, any age people. Well, in these nations, they're getting ready for war. They're not getting ready for peace. And from 14, the age of 14, gets one. They have to go out every year. They get 100 hours of training each year to shoot a weapon, fire a rocket, propel grenades, throw a grenade, pitch a tent, and other survival skills. And they call this survival skills. Of course, this stuff is nonsense. I mean, they don't fight with spears and swords anymore, you know. They don't fight with the 22 rifle that was used to get game, birds, and things like that to eat. They use nuclear bombs, and a child with all the skills in the country, that's not going to stop. You know, a nuclear bomb is going to stop the whole thing in 1 hour. But we see, again, we see the end. China slaps U.S. with up to 25% bigger import tariffs in trade war retaliation. Well, this is building now, as you see as you saw on the news there just now. Remember that Malachi Martin spoke of China and Russia as opposition. I hope you saw that where the Pope, where one of the 10 kings tried to kiss Putin's hand. From what I understand, Putin threatened him. But anyway, I think I would just shun him myself and stay away from him. Trump threatens Democrats. Trump threatens Democrats, Mexico over DACA and border security, mainly because the Democrats wouldn't issue the money that he wanted to build this wall. Now, we're back to the Pope. Pope Francis, in Easter address, says defenseless being killed in Holy Land. Now, if you know of all the billions of people that these people have murdered from the time of 750 BY till now, including 3 million or more when they moved the temple that they now call the Sistine Chapel. The Sistine Chapel, they moved it to Rome, and they had popes. This word Sistine, it means editor. And, of course, they're the ones that started editing the Holy Scriptures now. They had popes who did so. The part that David Yehuda Hawkins brought out, that's some of the things, that's one of the things they edited. There's no way you could translate that the way they had it translated. So I wanted David to bring that out today because I hope to get to that part in the sermon today. But editing the temple that once stood in on Mount Zion in Jerusalem, editing that temple. It never had all them naked people. This was exposing nakedness. It exposes nakedness, and that's the first thing we noticed when we were in there, was the nakedness that was being exposed. And there was no shame. I mean, it when we walked in the front door and saw a priest with a boy standing in front of him and his head covered up with a skirt, you know, it's a horrible thing, and they don't hide it. This is the worship of their gods, and they supposedly had this as a statue of the disciple, Kepha, which they're liars. You know, if you read 1st and 2nd Kepha, you'll see that Kepha condemned everything that the Catholic Church is doing. There's no way he would have taught Catholicism. He taught the laws of Yahweh as he was taught by the Savior, and the Savior taught him the laws and prophecies and told everyone, you're a fool if you don't believe this and you don't practice it. But they say he was the first Sistine. The second one started editing the Holy Scriptures, the Book of Yahweh. And in that time period, from that time period till the King James Version came out in the 1600s, and they added the letter J, that was more editing. You have to understand that these men were, they weren't doing this themselves, but they had teams working under them. Each one did, and they inspected it themselves, read it and okayed it, or read it and took the word of someone else who okayed it. Well, of course, the Sistine Chapel, right now, if you saw it, if the people saw it that went to it to hear the law read in the days of Yahshua, because that's where the laws were read. They sat in Moshe's seat, Yahshua said, and they read the laws. They taught the laws of that Moshe was inspired to give them and was taught 40 years to give them. He taught those laws there himself. He sat in Moshe's seat day after day teaching those laws. Well, he said when the Pharisees sit in Moshe's seat, they are required by law to teach those laws. But he said they don't practice these laws that they're teaching. That's the Roman Catholic Church. They moved from Jerusalem, moved the temple from Jerusalem, and set it up in Rome. That's the temple they started editing with naked pictures, bringing the Lord, as Daniel said, bringing the Lord of the heavenly habitation, the abomination of desolation, the King James Version calls it, the Interpreter's Bible Dictionary says it's the Lord of the heavenly habitation. This is how they polluted the temple. They brought these in right after Solomon died. If you think of the scheming that went on, that is going on now, and you think of the scheming that went on while Solomon lived, of women that was sent to Solomon, introduced to Solomon, who claimed to be the saints of Yahweh, but got in to this marriage situation with Solomon, they had power. And they wanted a place to teach here, and another one wanted a place to teach there. Now, this is the way the God worship was set up in Israel, all under pretense from women who were Solomon's wives, and had power. So when Solomon died, those women were still obeying the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, the ones who were offering sacrifice at the temple. Were they offering sacrifice to Yahweh? No, the scripture plainly says they were not. For the 40 years that he led them, they offered their sacrifices to gods, god worshipers. Well, what's going on here with all these nations? You can see the same deception taking place. He says he, this is speaking of Pope Francis, the Vatican City. Vatican City, this comes from Reuters, Pope Francis, in his Easter address on Sunday, remember they took the Sabbath day, they stopped people from worshiping on the Sabbath day, and they changed it over where they would worship the sun god, Baal, on Sunday. That's never changed. And Christians do the same thing as Catholics do. This is God worship that Yahweh said it's evil, showed it's evil in Genesis 3, verse 5. Evil like the gods that no one ever notices but the house of Yahweh. He also appealed for an end to the carnage in Syria. Okay, now what he's saying here is, you don't get it. If you don't get this, you won't understand what his speech was about. He's saying, like the Godfather movie, if you saw that, he gives them a deal that they cannot refuse. I'll let you live if you'll pay me so much money. That's a deal you can't refuse. Well, every time the Pope goes, every time the Vatican sends him to some place like Venezuela, he just went there, and right after that, they started having trouble, big time trouble. The same thing with China, same thing with Russia. He goes and he warns them. He makes them a deal they can't refuse, but they refuse it anyway. And Putin says, they're the bear, the grizzly. And they don't need permission from anyone when you're the grizzly. Well, he says to Syria, you can have peace if you will turn to Catholicism. Those people don't want to do that. They're trained like the North Koreans to fight for their religion. And this is what this article is about. These 14-year-old children willing to murder for their religion, which proves it's 666. It's not 613, 614. It's not 613 laws. It's 666. That is the pattern of this, of the whole 666 system. Fight. Fight for your gods. And they all worship gods. Well, he says he also appealed for an end to the carnage in Syria, meaning that if you turn to Catholicism, I can get this stopped. They're the ones that started it, so they know what to do to stop it. Saying the same thing to China. And China says, no, we don't want your religion. They believe in what they're doing as much as North Korea believes in what they're doing, and as much as we do, as we believe that righteousness in righteousness, calling for humanitarian aid to be allowed to enter, that's the Catholic Church putting the children in orphanages. Did you know that's what's occurring in Venezuela too? They're starving those people down. The people are giving their children to the Catholic orphanages. Well, what do you think they're teaching them in these Catholic orphanages? They say, give me a child at this age for a certain length of time and he'll be a Catholic the rest of his life. Well, that's when they teach them Catholicism. Same thing in North Korea. They've taught these people to die for their God worship, the gods they worship. Well, he's calling for humanitarian aid to enter, that is the Catholic Church, to enter Syria now, so they can take the children, put them in orphanages, and turn the people to God worship of the Catholic Church, the gods of the Catholic Church. Russia says, we know what you do. We don't want you raping our children. We don't want this kind of stuff taught in our country. That's what China's saying. Well, they worship gods too, so they're open for fighting, as the rest of these people are. Aid to be allowed to enter, and for peace, to be achieved. He's calling for it in Sudan and also the Democratic Republic of Congo and so forth. He's calling for this in several places where we're having wars and starvation at this time. This is their move to resurrect the Roman Empire. Israel's defense minister has rejected calls for the inquiry into the killing of the military. They killed, I think, 17 people, shot them down just last week. And they're screaming they want an investigation. And of course, Israel is saying no. Now, this Easter, Pope begged for peace for the entire world, beginning, that is, his peace. What he's saying, he don't want peace. He's saying, join the Catholic Church and you will have peace. So he's begging for peace for the entire world, begging the entire world to go stop worshiping their gods and start worshiping the gods of the Catholic Church. This Easter, may the light of the risen Christ, that's Catholic Church, the risen Christ, the Catholic Church, illumine the conscience of the political and military leaders so that a swift end, turn to Catholicism so that a swift end be brought to the carnage in course right now. This is so false, you know. It's the way that it's worded. It's like the Catholic Church, the Pope, is calling for true peace. Of course, he's not calling for peace. They'd never have peace. They're all worshiping gods. They're fighting each other. The Catholic Church is fighting each other right now. There's no peace in the Catholic Church. He prayed for the power of Jesus' message. He prayed the power of Jesus' message bears fruit of hope. Fruit of hope. Well, you see that message, of course, in Genesis 2:17. That's the message. And they're the ones that turn to the God worker. God worship. This sacred calendar, if you don't have it, you need to get you one and start using it. You'll get acquainted with it. It's a little difficult to begin with, but you'd be surprised how fast you'll learn it. It takes the God worship out of the day-to-day routines of life. God worship cut mankind off from life. It cut them off. Yahweh said they can't take it anymore, can't have it anymore until certain things are done. First off, they spent their own life by sinning, so they had to have a Savior. And Yahweh brought that Savior through in the form of a man called Yeshua Messiah, which means Yahweh will save his people from their sins. That's a total plan. After man turned to sin, they cut themselves off from Yahweh. And he says, in the last days, I will establish my house. Well, that means the temple was not the house? That's the first question we get. Well, wasn't that a work of Yahweh? Yes, it's a work of Yahweh bringing forth the Savior. But the temple, if you read about it in the Acts of the Apostles, they'll tell you Yahweh doesn't dwell in a house made by hands. You, the people, are the house of Yahweh. That's you right now. This building that Yahweh gave us to use became known as the house of Yahweh, of course, as the temple became known as the house of Yahweh. Read that in Acts about the temple, and then you'll know they fully explain it. It's not hard to understand. Yahweh, mankind shut himself off from Yahweh. Yahweh does not force anyone. He puts it before everyone, but he doesn't force anyone to choose life. You can choose death if you want to. You have but a short time and you'll get your reward. Yahweh is calling to all 4,199 religions to let you know. He's calling to you to let you know that he has established his house now, as prophecy said he would in the last day. That house has life eternal, because it has the Savior who died for your sins, and he is now high priest over the house of Yahweh in the last days. That's all explained in Genesis 2, by the way, Genesis 49. Be turning over to Genesis 2. Keep in mind what I told you about the Pope's plans, the news you saw here, how it's taking place, the schemes that are taking place, the schemes that are taking place to turn the people that are leaving by swarms, they say, leaving the Catholic Church. Of course, they have about 2 billion people, so, you know, a few hundred thousand is not really going to make that much difference. But they have plans on bringing back this, all the people and more, back to the Catholic Church. But here in Genesis 2, verse 9, he shows he has the tree of life. He shows you there. 2, verse 9, he has the tree of life. Then in chapter 3 there, let's see, 17, if you look at verse 17, he tells you, don't eat of this tree of evil. Don't eat of it or you're going to die. This is what brings death. Don't follow that way. That's what the house of Yahweh teaches today. Same thing. Now, mankind chose death, as you see, in Genesis 3, 1 through 6. Sins, which is brings death. Evil and brings death. In verse 5, it says, Satan convinced them to follow the gods, who the gods are evil. Evil, be evil like the gods. That's in verse 5. That's what cut man off from Yahweh, being evil like the gods. Yahweh has never identified himself as a god. Now, if you look at 3 and verse 22, you'll see that then Yahweh said, behold, the man has become like one who has begun to know righteousness and evil. So now he has cut himself off from life, and now he must not be allowed to have the tree of life. The tree of life is the house of Yahweh that teaches life. It was put before him to begin with. It was rejected. Since it was rejected and the sins came in, the wages of sin is death. Then Yahweh's plan said, he'll let them go their way. He'll bring forth his works, his seven works, to produce a Savior, which he did 2,000 years ago, who died, went to heaven to train for another 2,000 years. Yes? Train. And while he's training, while he's in training, training for high priest, which our original, this was also offered to the children of Israel when he brought them out of Egypt, but they refused it. But his plan was still going through them to bring forth this Savior 2,000 years ago. The Savior that would be high priest and could give life in this time period, the last days. He can give life. In fact, he could resurrect people from the dead. Yahweh gave him that power. He lived it. He proved it to heaven and earth what he would do. Well, here we see life is shut off from mankind. This shut off completely from mankind. They qualified for it. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob qualified. And Yosef, they all qualified for life. But they're not going to get it until you get it. His house. It's got to be given to his house. And everything comes through his house, the tree of life that was given in chapter 2, verse 9. See that? So his life is shut off. He's not allowed to handle it, not allowed to get it. If you could think of the power that comes with this and think about giving that to Putin right now or to Trump or to any world leader. Think about it. If you had the power that Yahshua had and that was given to men, if you look at chapter 3 and verse 22, you'll see that's evil. If you turn to chapter 6, he expounds on this. Now, the way the King James Version edited it, remember these editors, the Sistines that also painted nakedness all over the temple that was once in Jerusalem and calls it the Sistine Chapel. The edited chapel. I'll try to comb my emotions here. Look at chapter 6. And it came to pass when man began to multiply on the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of the gods. Now, the way the King James Version was edited, it makes it look like that mighty angels came down and they took women and they had half gods and half human. Of course, these are lies. They're cartoon. I think the word cartoon, I'm still studying it. I've got others studying it too. But I think the word cartoon is to falsify. The word means to falsify. It doesn't mean the painting itself, but falsifying it. As you're in the temple of these gods now, and you can look up and you can see them fighting, raping, sinning, all over the they're in action. And all you have to do is just look at it, and it'll put it into your mind, what these gods are having the desirable thing to do. And they're showing, they got a movie now made of this. Hollywood has entered in, they said. Finally entered religion. They don't even have sense enough to know that Hollywood came teaching the Pope's will to begin with, the Vatican's will to begin with. In the 60s was the swinging 60s. Where do you think that came from? Hollywood and television. No, the sons of the gods were merely God worshipers. Now, I think Yehuda has already brought this out from the stage, and I don't have that translation with me. If he didn't, he can get it tomorrow morning. The sons of the gods, they're God worshipers. If you just make a note there or put God worshipers, saw the daughters of men, these God worshipers took the daughters of men and they multiplied and they taught them the carnality as you see in verse 3. And they became, and there was tyrants. You get that fully explained in Genesis 10. The Nimrod system began to be taught by these God worshipers. It began to be taught after the flood by Cush, again, setting up schools and teaching the people to become tyrants. These were the God worshipers, came to the daughters of men, and they bore them children. Those were the mighty ones, the tyrants, the enemies of Yahweh, men which from even the days of old were known as men of infamous name. Then Yahweh says that the wickedness of man is great on the earth, and every intent of his thoughts are evil continually. This is what you see in 4,199 religions. And this is what you're seeing. They're fighting each other. They're raping children. They are slandering women. They are taking men who love women, who have a natural love for women, who have been taught by the Catholic Church to abuse women and abuse children. They're taking, you see the same thing here. It was taught then as it's being taught now, but more so now because they have the televisions that are reaching into the world. Well, verse 5 says, then Yahweh saw this. The intents of man's heart was evil continually. Evil. Evil? Where do you get that word? Genesis 3, verse 5. Evil like the gods. Evil like the gods. Now, if you will go over to Mark. Now, this is the one that Yehuda covered. Mark, and keep that in mind now, and turn to Mark 13. Mark 13, we already had this corrected, but I needed David to explain it to you there this morning. But in Mark 13 and verse 28, the way the editors wrote this, they used the word fig tree instead of the word house of Yahweh. And that's what this word actually means here. In Mark 13, 28, now learn what is said. When the branch, now you should know enough about the prophecies of the branch to put this together. When the branch will establish the house of Yahweh at Abel, the way we had it to begin with, this was before we corrected it, now learn a parable of the fig tree. That word fig tree does not mean fig tree. It means house of Yahweh at Abel. When its branches has put forth tender leaves. No. Now learn what is said. When the branch, this is Yeshua speaking of the day when he is high priest over the house of Yahweh. And he's saying, now learn what is said. When the branch will establish the house of Yahweh. He knew the house of Yahweh was going to be established. He knew the scriptures. He knew Zechariah 6. He knew the whole book of Zechariah, which talks about the house of Yahweh. when the branch will establish the house of Yahweh Abel, where there will be healing in the last days. And this healing, it's talking about the healing of the mind, but it's also talking about the healing of the body. Yes, and this is going to take place very soon now in our time period. That power is going to be given us as it was Yahshua. He's training us to be like he was. Not like he is now. He's got a lot of what I want. 2,000 years worth of it. Where there will be healing in the last days from a remnant that will be healed and made holy by the teachings, of course, of the laws and the prophecy. That's how you make a person holy. You change them from inside out. Know that the time of great heat is near. Know that the time of that great heat, the burning, the one-hour burning that darkens the sun is near. So when you, in the same way, see these things come to pass, you will know that it is near at the door. Quite different from what we have there. But look how they edited this to take your mind off the prophecies that you see now. Go back to Zechariah. Zechariah 6. This was Yahshua. Hebrews 10:21 says, Yahshua is high priest over the house of Yahweh. Take the silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the head of Yahshua, son of. Now, in the other versions, and I think we got this and all, it says set one crown on the head of Yahshua. This one says set them, but we added the word them there, if you notice. I don't think it's that way, David. It's set one upon the head of Yahshua, son of Yozadek. Strong's Concordance even tells you that word is not Yozadek, it's Yahweh. This is Yahweh, the son of Yahweh, who is now high priest, speaking as if it's already done, high priest. Hebrews 10:21, high priest over the house of Yahweh. Now, the temple was moved to Rome, but that had nothing to do with the house of Yahweh, except they killed all the people who kept the Sabbath and the feast days. They thought they did. They thought they did. I remember a few families that got off of a boat in either Kentucky or Tennessee, and I don't know which yet, but then wars came in the United States. They were fleeing for their lives, fleeing to a place where they could worship without being killed or murdered, because that was what was going on big time with the Roman army. And then comes other world leaders, and they were doing the same thing, like Hitler, who chose to kill 6 million people who kept the Sabbath, owned a menorah, would not eat pork. Any of those things that get you killed in Germany. Well, here, speak now, set it up on the head of the son of Yahweh, Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, the high priest. Speak to him and say, now this is his job right now as high priest. This is what Yahweh of hosts says. Behold, the man whose name is the branch. When you see, Mark says, now learn what is said. When the branch will establish the house of Yahweh Abel. This is the prophecy he's speaking of. This plus Genesis 10, I mean Genesis 49:10. Yeshua and his donkeys. Yeshua and the branch and their donkeys. The branch will establish the house of Yahweh. The branch, hold your place right there and look over to chapter 9. I said this is the donkeys. Genesis 49, look at chapter 9 and verse 9. 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout for joy, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes to you. He is just and having salvation. He's the one that has the salvation. He earned it. He is given unto him. All judgment over mankind was given unto him. He has life and can give it to whom Yahweh tells him to give it. Lowly riding on not a donkey, but donkeys. A donkey on a colt, the fold of a donkey. Riding on a donkey and a donkey's colt, the fold of a donkey. Now, Mark, hold your place as a carrier now. I'll read this to you again. Mark 13:28. Now learn what is said. When the branch will establish the house of Yahweh, Abel. Now read this again. Take a crown, put it on the head of Yeshua as high priest. As high priest. That's what he earned. He became the high priest whose obedience of the nations is going to be given to him. Yahweh has that in his plan and he's bringing it about, and not one of these prophecies will fail. Now, verse 12, this is Zechariah 6, verse 12. Speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says. Behold, the man whose name is the branch, for he will branch out from his place, and he will build the house of Yahweh. The Amplified Bible says, the true house of Yahweh. Verse 13, yes, he will build the house of Yahweh. He will bear glory, and will sit and rule on his throne. He will be a priest. He will be a priest. Yeshua is the high priest now. But the branch is the priest. He will be a priest upon his throne. And the council of peace. Isn't it something that the house of Yahweh is teaching peace? Instead of the schemes of war, the council of peace will be between them both. Them both. Well, my time is up, but look one more scripture. David got this one for me this morning, or made me a copy. We've had it for quite some time. But look at chapter 3 here of Zechariah, chapter 3, and look at verse 8. Hear now, O Yeshua, the high priest. This is speaking of future now, when he became high priest. Hear now, O Yeshua, the high priest, and your companions who sat before you, for they are men wondered at, for behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Yeshua, upon this stone, remember, complete unity? Remember that was what he told Kepha? Complete unity? This stone, upon the stone, complete knowledge and understanding is established. Established where? The house of Yahweh. He shows it right over there in chapter 6. Established. There, complete knowledge and understanding will be established. Behold, I will engrave its inscription, says Yahweh of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day. In one day, or as Revelation 20 says, one hour. In that day, says Yahweh of hosts, every man will invite his brother under his own vine. Well, that's not what that says. That's some more editing of the Sistines, the Sistine popes. In that day, says Yahweh of hosts, here's the corrected, the only way you can translate it. You can't even translate it the other way, the experts say. In that day, Yahweh of hosts, every man will be called out to unite under the vine and to unite at the house of Yahweh at Abel, where there is healing. Beautiful, huh? I tell you when it's right. Now, the clue to all you churches that know that the house of Yahweh is growing, like prophecy said it would, you want your churches to grow, try this. It's T-R-U-T-H. It brings complete knowledge, complete understanding. Of course, you have to come to the house of Yahweh to get it. That's the only place that your mind will be open. It starts with the keeping of the Sabbath, Isaiah 58. If you will turn your foot from my Sabbath, then I will start teaching you to come out of sin, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, which separated you in Genesis 3, that separated you from life. Come to the house of Yahweh, where we have the high priest who paid for our sins, our past sins, and told us, practice righteousness, repent and be converted, so that your sins may be blotted out. That's the only way that you're ever going to get life. Come to the house of Yahweh, start keeping the Sabbath, learn of Yahweh, learn of Yahshua, our high priest, who has life to give. May Yahweh bless your understanding. I'll turn the services over to the next leader. I love you!